I've heard in my spirit, do not be moved away from the hope of the gospel. Now that's the same thing as cast not away your confidence. You know, confidence causes people to be very bold, very outspoken, assertive, and sometimes obnoxious. Have you noticed that? I was at a lady's house and she said to me, what pound cake recipe do you use? And I said, I have one that comes from a dear friend. Used it for years. She said, well, you need my aunt's recipe. And so I said, well, what's in it? And she went over the ingredients. And I said, well, it sounds okay, but I really like the one I've always used. I know it works. She said, no, not nearly as good as my aunt's. Well, she just kept at me. See, she had great confidence in that recipe. And she wasn't going to be moved away from that. And she wanted me to stand by her side and to embrace that recipe as my very own favorite. But being a fairly stubborn person, I wasn't going to because I like my recipe. And mine has sour cream in it and hers doesn't, and I happen to like sour cream. Think the whole world should include sour cream. Love sour cream. So she's outspoken, she's confident, she's sure, she's assertive. So I said, okay, write it down, write it down. Every now and then, I guess 20 years have come and gone, I'm going through my file to hunt something. I passed that recipe. Still in the file. Never have baked it. You know why? Because that's not where my confidence is. My confidence is in the recipe I always use with the sour cream that comes from my dear friend. So that's the one I use. Now, God said, cast not away your confidence. Over all these years, I've not cast away my confidence in that recipe. And if that recipe failed me, I'd bake it again. You know why? I'm sure about that recipe. If it failed me, I thought I've done something wrong here. I've left out an ingredient, or I got my oven too hot, or something. I'd double check and I'd do it again, because that's where my confidence is. Now, you know, we're supposed to have confidence in Almighty God. We can develop an unshakable confidence in God. So many times we promote the Word of God and said, you need to trust the Word of God. But the Word of God is only as good as God who wrote the Word. And my confidence can be in His Word. That's true. But there's a higher route, a surer victory, if my confidence surpasses the Word and is lodged in God Himself. Now that's what 1 John 5 says. This is a confidence we have in Him. Doesn't say this is a confidence we have in the Word. Doesn't say this is a confidence we have in the promise. It says this is the confidence we have. What? In Him. Now that's what the writer meant. God is not a man that He should lie. You wouldn't have any confidence in a liar, would you? You'd be insecure. We had a friend that sometimes told the truth, sometimes didn't. So I didn't ever pay much attention. I don't have any confidence in a word he says. And if he said, I'll be there tomorrow at 6, I wouldn't even take out my pen right down. Because he very seldom kept his word. I had another friend that said, we'll have lunch sometime. And I said, oh, that'd be great. I hadn't known her very long, so I wrote it on my calendar. Lunch tomorrow. And then I didn't hear from her. So days passed and she'd call back and she'd say, oh, you know, I forgot lunch. Let's have lunch on Wednesday. So I wrote in ink on my calendar. Wednesday came. No phone call. She says, I'll call you Wednesday morning. We'll have lunch. So after a while, I wised up and I wrote it in pencil. And after a while, I didn't write it down at all. No confidence. Now, this is the confidence we have in Him. You can have confidence in the Word that was inspired by God, or you can have confidence in God who inspired the Word. Oh, and it makes a world of difference. Says God's not a man that He should lie. Hath He said it, shall He not make it good? What God said He did, He said a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and He did that. He said that son would live 33 years. Would descend into hell for 3 days and 3 nights, would raise up triumphant, victorious over the works of the enemy, and He did that. He said He would provide us great bounty, great blessings, great benefits, and He did that. Now that's why I have confidence in God. Confidence in God. And behind every promise is God who said, let me tell you what I'm going to do. And every time God told me what he was going to do, and I believed that, I held fast to that, I didn't cast that away. Now, if I had something to cast away, I would. I'd just throw it down here. Well, how about that? Hope I don't need it. When you cast something down, you turn loose of it. Now, the scripture says, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. See, that word hope means expectation in God, because God is God, because he loves me, because he died for me. I have some expectations. I have some hope. And one thing I know about God, one thing I expect, is he always answers prayer. You know, Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, and he said, I want you to know and understand three things. The translator said, I want you to be flooded with light in three areas. I want you to understand the inheritance. I want you to understand the power. And I want you to understand the hope of your calling. He said, I want you to know what you can expect now that you've stepped into this great kingdom of light. You can expect some things. Well, one thing we can have confidence in that we can expect is God always answers prayer. It says, ask and you shall receive. Not asking, you might, you could, I hope so. Give it a shot, never hurts, try. No, he said, ask and what? Because God's not a man that he should lie. And hath he said, and shall he not do it? And then he said, John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you should ask what you will and it shall be. Not it might be, it what? I can expect, I can have confidence that God hears my prayer. Says, call unto me, I will answer you. Now, if I go according to the promises of the word, when I call unto God, his answer is always the same. He says, all right, Becky, I'll do it. I'll do it. Oh, it's so reassuring to know Almighty God is on my side. And it says, go boldly. And that word boldly is the same word that's confidence in 1 John 5:14. This is a confidence we have in him. Or go boldly, or go with confidence. And it says in the Greek, go with plain, blunt, outspoken speech. See, it's me, God, and what I need is $114.12. And you said in your word, that was my first mortgage payment, by the way. That's why it always sticks in my mind. Oh, for those days, huh? So you said you'd meet my need. You don't believe that, but I'm an old person. $114.12. That's what we paid for years, years. So you said you'd meet my need out of your riches and glory. Now, there comes a day when I've approached boldly, and it's a throne of grace. It's not a throne of judgment. Somehow we think you better tiptoe in, use the back door, be very careful. Kind of like if God ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. No, just go boldly, go blunt, go confident, go assured. And tell him what you need. And then he says, okay, yes, I'll do that. Because he always keeps his word. He always answers the cry of his word from his people with a resounding yes. Now, the reason the scripture says cast not away your confidence is because it's easy to turn loose. Have you noticed that? And I like the scripture says hold fast. You know why it says hold fast? If I put you in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean on life raft, said I'll be back tomorrow, I wouldn't have to explain hold fast to you, would I? You'd get it, wouldn't you? And when I came tomorrow, you'd have a death grip on that raft. We'd have to unfold your fingers and say, you're safe now, you're safe now. Turn loose, turn loose, turn loose. And that's what God said. He said, hold fast. Don't cast it away. Don't be moved. And the writer says, don't drift. Don't you like that? Oh, I love that. Don't drift. You know, when people drift out in the ocean, they didn't mean to. They got their eyes off the land. The Message Bible says, don't be distracted. Now, Wayne and I were vacationing in Charleston, South Carolina, and we took the buggy tour, where they tell you about all the architecture, who slept where and who built what. And they had this fascinating horse pulling the buggy. I couldn't keep my mind on the architecture. I'm watching the horse. And I said, what kind of horse is this? You could walk under his belly. And he told me, from France, I forget his name, but he was from France. And he said, you see those hurricane anchors over there in that building? Do you know why they put those hurricane anchors? I said, how much he weigh? He said, oh, just over 1,500 pounds. And he said, now, we had a major hurricane here. You see that anchor up there? I said, how often do you feed him? I'm totally distracted. And see, when your body says, I hurt, I hurt, I hurt, pain, pain, die, die, sick, 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 we get distracted. But the scripture says, cast not away, don't be moved, it says, don't drift. Now, I know God answers prayer, so when I pray, I have the answer in my heart. I have it in spirit. But there's always a time span, almost every time, between the day I asked, the day I secured it, the day I went to God boldly before the throne of grace for mercy. It says, go there for mercy. I kind of like mercy, don't you? I like it a lot. And I go boldly and I tell God, you said by Jesus' stripes I was healed, and you sent your word to heal me. No weapon formed against me will prosper. And he said, all right. All right, Becky. I didn't lie to you. You are healed. And I have that in my heart, but not in my body. My body continues to speak very loud. It's that time span between the time I went to God in prayer, I secured the promise, I let God know what I needed. He said, all right, that's according to my word. I've done that for you. The blood of the Lamb has secured that for you. And the day of manifestation. In other words, there's a day of conception and there's a day of delivery. And between the conception and the delivery, it's very easy to cast away your confidence. Very easy to drift. One translation says, don't move. I love to read translations in modern English. Get you one that you can read that speaks to your heart. I have about 8 that I read. One says, go in confidence and keep standing. That means I've got to get my eyes off of the disease, off of the pain, off of the trauma, and constantly on the promise. I can't keep looking at the horse. I've got to pay attention to the hurricane anchors. One evening our phone rang and Wayne answered the phone and he said, some guy for you. Well, I figure it's one of you guys, right? I mean, I don't know. And I went to the phone and said hello, and he didn't even introduce himself, didn't ask me who I was or anything. He said, I have something very difficult to tell you. Maybe you'd want to sit down. I said, okay, fine. I mean, I thought he was going to tell me his wife died or been diagnosed with some disease or whatever. He said, I want you to know that your husband's having an affair with my wife. I said, oh, you know what? You've got the wrong Wayne Cumbie. Did you know there are 3 Wayne Cumbies in the book? I'm telling you one thing I know is Wayne Cumbie wasn't having an affair. I have an unshakable confidence in him. I know that. And this precious gentleman who was in a jam, I mean a big jam, I talked really fast to him because I didn't want him to hang up. I don't figure he got my number by accident. He said, oh, I didn't call Wayne Cumbie. He said, I'm not after Wayne Cumbie. And he told me who he was after. And he said, do you know him? And I said, no. I sure was glad I didn't too. Then I'd have to decide what to do with the information I had if I'd known him, see. I said, well, this is the Wayne Cumbie residence. And you need prayer. You may be fixing to make a mistake, so let me pray for you. Dear Father, I didn't even breathe. And I kept talking. I said, this man's in a jam. He's about to get some other people in a jam. But he didn't upset me. He didn't shake my confidence. He didn't cause me to back up or drift away or withdraw. He didn't cause me to move. I'm still holding fast. Because I know him. Now, Paul didn't say, I know what I believe. He said, I know whom I believe. Oh, thank God, thank God. He said, I know whom I believe. I know him. Suzanne, our daughter, used to do all our cooking. She did the cooking, I did the cleaning. And one night, she came and she said, Mom, go look at Daddy's face. Go look at Daddy's face. Well, Wayne's a moderate coffee drinker. And some days he wants coffee and some days he doesn't. You know, and I can tell that. I said, how can you tell that? Well, I don't know. You just know that. And she said, I looked in his face and looked in his eyes. She said, how do you tell if he wants coffee? I can't tell. You know, I can tell through the wall. I don't even have to see his face. Something about the way he shuffles and the way the door slams. On a good day, he doesn't shuffle quite as loudly. I said, put on the coffee pot, it's a coffee day. About 5 minutes, he said, Suzanne, you got my coffee on? She said, Mom, how did you know that? See, I know him, and I know Almighty God. And he said, you can have confidence in me, Becky. What I said I'll do, I have done. And if you'll hold fast, if you cling to that, if you'll not desert that, if you'll not drift away from that, it will happen. The day of conception will become the day of delivery. Every time. Now, you know what the thief of confidence is? It's time. And when I ask for $114.12 on the 15th and I need it by the 1st of June, I am confident. Because God meets my need out of his riches and glory, and this is a need. So I'm standing on the word. I have confidence in God. And on the 16th, I just say, thank you, Father. The money comes before the due date. And on the 18th, I say, wow, what day is this? Okay, never mind. Money comes before the due date. I'm beginning to drift. You get my drift? And then the devil has friends. He has so many friends that speak to you, that stand by your side, and they say, what are you going to do? And before you think, I don't really know. Well, you know, my God shall supply all your need. Looked really good on the 15th of May, but it doesn't look quite as good on the 31st. When tomorrow's the day. But God said, don't drift. He said, don't move. I read this true story. A man called up a God good missionary in Africa, had a wife and numerous children. I forget, 5, I think, but several. You know, anything over 2 is numerous. That's my theory. You don't have to embrace it for yourself. And so he's called to Africa, and he couldn't ever get his money together. And he knew he was to leave on a particular date. He had that in his thinking from the Lord. And the day came, and his wife said, what are you going to do? He says, well, I'll just go down and get our boat ticket. It's before the day of airplane, and he's going by boat. She said, how are you going to pay for that? He said, well, God will meet our need out of his riches and glory. He said, go, he'll supply. So he got, this is a true story. He got in that line. He's 2 or 3 people back, doesn't have a dime to his name, no credit cards in those days. And the man in front of him turns around and says, where are you going? He says, I'm going to Africa. I'm taking my children. I'm a missionary. My wife and the children and I are going to talk about the gospel. He said, really, who's helping you? He said, you know, I got some extra money. Why don't I pay for your tickets? Now, you don't have to be too enthusiastic. But God said, if you don't cast away, if you don't drift, if you don't draw back, and it's time. That's why he says, be not slothful. Have you ever seen a sloth in the zoo? Fascinating. I was at the zoo. The sloth is in the tree hanging upside down. They put his feeding dish just about this far. It was just barely beyond his fingertips. They have long, I guess their arms, whatever. And he looked at that food for a long time because Wayne and I watched him about 20 minutes. And in 20 minutes' time, he may have moved this far. Now, it's clear he's interested in the food, but he's kind of... And that's the way we do sometimes with God. Move real slow. Don't let anybody know you're believing in case it doesn't work. If you die, they'll never know you failed. Now the scripture says, be not slothful, but followers them who faith and patience inherit the promise. Faith in God. Jesus didn't say have faith in the word of God. Mark 11:22, he said have faith in God. Now if God doesn't change, I'm on good ground for victory. And he said, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. And we get to thinking about my symptoms and my doctor's report and my insurance and my pain. And Brother and Sister Helpful will say, you don't look so good today, Brother Mike. You feel all right? Have you checked your blood pressure today? Did you take your medicine? You think you need to double up or anything? Because you really look awful. Were they going to do more surgery, or did they say they couldn't do the surgery? And by his stripes, I was healed. It's not as solid in my heart. There's a day of conception when I know what God has said, and God has said to me, I did that through my son Jesus. You have it. But there's a day of delivery that's weeks and months, sometimes even years down the line. And between the conception and the delivery, I'm supposed to be steadfast, unmovable, and abounding in the work of the Lord. Now let me tell you a true story. We had in our neighborhood a drive-by shooting at one of the major stores. Somebody injured. Several years back. Wayne and I figured maybe 7 years. I don't know. And then we had a family squabble at a local restaurant in our neighborhood, and someone was hurt. And then we had a gang up to no good. Then everybody on our street, almost without exception, was robbed, not once but twice. I found this out. I wasn't smart enough to know it. They rob you the first time, give you 3 months to replace all your stuff, and go back and get your new stuff. Clever, huh? And so that happened. We were robbed twice ourselves. We fooled them, though. We didn't get any new stuff. I'm not addicted to my stuff, I'm telling you. Well, it dawned on me one day, and I don't know how else to say this. Hope this doesn't offend you, but my neighborhood was going to hell. It was. And I said to Wayne, who's going to do something? And I could hear it real clear. Why don't you do it? So we began to pray. Now, some things happen. Just snap your finger. We would get up, the gang that had always met in the evening, now you could go by any time, day or night, they were there. 7 in the morning, there were already 5 and 6 and 7 of them gathered for the day. And one of them came to my house, did a survey, and we were robbed the next day. I know they were up to no good. And I said, we had my granddaughter's birthday pictures in the camera, and they stole the camera. And I said to her, you know, keep the camera, but bring me back my film. I said, I don't care if you have the camera, but I would like the film. It was my granddaughter's birthday. She said, oh, no, we didn't take your camera. I said, just bring the film, okay? Roll the film out. Bring me my film. Confident. You know what she said? Okay, okay, what kind of camera was it? You know, within weeks, we began to pray. Wayne and I began to pray. Overnight, the gang disappeared. We checked on them. And the robberies ceased. Oh, it was wonderful. It was almost instant. It was like you prayed in confidence. You know evil's not the will of God. It's not God's will for people to be molested and destroyed, for their goods to be taken. And almost instantly we got results for that end of the prayer. We began to pray for new businesses in our area, and we began to pray for the people to prosper. And I wondered, I had a brief thought, how are people that don't believe in God going to prosper? I said, well, that's God's problem, not mine. You know, I began to believe. We began for the churches to grow. Oh, we saw some instant things. That was almost 7 years ago. Just this last year, houses on my street have been painted and remodeled. All of those years, you know what it looked like? Ain't nothing happening here. But was. Why? Because God said, ask me, Becky, and I'll give it to you. Seek, Becky, you'll find. Knock, Becky. See, that word's written to me. I put my name in it. Said, knock, Becky, the door's open. And then he goes on to say the next verse. Don't skip the next verse. Everyone that asks receives. And we ask. And every now and then we'd brush past that. And we'd say, we thank you that the churches grow and businesses increase. We have several nightclubs and places of ill repute. Two or three of them's already closed down, by the way. One instantly cut their hours way down. They said, we can't stay alive. We can't survive. We'll have to open only 3 days a week. See, this is the confidence we have in God. I know whom I have believed. Have faith in God. Ask and you shall. I don't know how God did it, and you wouldn't be impressed with my street because you didn't see it before. But if you ever saw it before and you saw it today, you'd dance from one end of it to the other. Almighty God has prospered our street. Now take your stand in prayer tonight. If you've turned loose of anything, say, forgive me, Father. You know everybody turns loose, so it's not a malady that's just yours. I've turned loose more than once. Say, forgive me, Father. You know if it was the will of God the day you prayed it, if it was conceived in your heart, go back and resurrect it. So that was you, and that request was godly, and it was scriptural, and it was what we needed. And I'm sorry I drifted, turned loose, moved away, cast it aside. Go back and pick that up. Pick it up again. And say, now, Lord, I'm going to stay anchored this time because I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. And I don't know how God does these things. I don't have to know how. If I had no how, it would never happen. Now, if you're secure and you haven't dropped anything and you're walking in great faith, I know the Lord will lead you to pray in a different direction. That'll be fine. You might even pray for those that have dropped some things, turned some things loose. And I know there's a handful of people that didn't even know they had to hold on. But you have to hold on because the devil's real. And so, Lord, in my heart, I did. I just flat turned loose. Or I was fixing to turn loose. Or I was thinking about the horses instead of the hurricane anchors. You know, God, he knows what you were thinking. You might as well admit it. And then say to him, now help me hold fast. Now here's what I do. If it's particularly difficult, I have a couple friends that I discuss my problem with. I don't tell the world. It's not a good idea. But I have a couple friends that know where I'm coming from. And if I get on the phone and I say, oh, help me, help me. They know I'm beginning to waver today. They know this is not a good day. I'm having a hard day. I'm beginning to waver. I'm beginning to doubt. You know, when I first went into the ministry, I quit at the end of every week. And if it hadn't been for a friend, I would have quit. Confide in somebody with faith. Don't tell any relative just because they're a relative. If they don't have faith, don't tell them. Right? You got it?